I'm the head of an organic farmer, so whichever here you go.
Well, good evening. The only qualification I've got of being here is that I've farmed for over 40 years. So I will tell you some of my experiences on farming. At the moment, my farm is on the coast of Pembrokeshire, 120 acres of organic farm. Prior to that, I was farming conventionally. I grew potatoes for over 30 years. Several varieties, First Earlies, Home Guard, Pentland Javelin, Craig Alliance, Red Craigs. This is going to be playing me up now. And during that time, I was planting the potatoes. I had a good gang of people working with me. We planted by hand and picked by hand. And we would harvest about 20 to 40 ton a day. And it would be sent to markets from Manchester to Smithfield in London. During that time, with all this technology going on now, we had no problem with nematodes. We kept to a strict rotation that we grew potatoes in the field, in a certain field, for 2 to 3 years. Then we followed it with a crop of corn for 2 years, and then back to a lay for 3 years, and then back to potatoes. So we kept a 6 to 7 year rotation. And it was a good system, because the potatoes complemented the farm. It was a good high input fertility. We had ryegrass growing in the fields afterwards. The cows grazed that, and that made input back into the soil. And then we would follow it with corn. It was a system that worked until, of course, in the end we had to give up because the price was too low. Like in 1985, the price fell so low from £300 a tonne to £9 a tonne that we gave up producing potatoes. So I can't see a problem with nematodes, but the biggest thing we came against was blight. And I think the best thing that's been ever invented and produced in the potato varieties in the last decade is the Sapo potato. I've grown it last year, and I'm absolutely amazed the way this potato has grown. As you see, this is a photograph of the field we grew it in. These are Maris Pier. They've been destroyed by the blight. And this is Sapo Mara next to it. And they kept on growing until the foliage came to the end of its growing period. And it yielded about 16 ton an acre. And I wish I had that variety when I was growing potatoes. It's a real breakthrough. This is another photo of the whole field. Talking about using genetically engineering to feed the world. This is something we started in our farm. This is CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. And we were the first one in our county to start it. This brings the community in with the farmer, that commit themselves and make a bond with the farmer. And this works really well. I think it's one of the best things that I've seen in my lifetime. And I think it's a possibility this will save farming completely.
What is it?
Community supported agriculture is having the community buy a membership with organizing a community, a cooperation with the farmer. And they pay so much a week, £7.50 a week, for the share of vegetables that is grown on the area. We grow two acres of vegetables. We've got 25 members at the moment. We're building up to 50 members this year. This the people come onto the farm to pick up their vegetables once a week. The amount of vegetables is put on a big board for them to see what allocation they're giving. And they weigh it themselves and take it away. So there's no packaging and no supermarket. And the whole community is involved in it. We have days where they help us plant and help us harvest and help us weed. And it brings in the community spirit. And it's really the variety of vegetables we have from one field. To say that the world is running out of food is nonsense. Absolute rubbish. This we can do on one field to feed our own community. If every farmer did this, you'd destroy the supermarket without even coming in conflict with them. This is an example of the vegetables we had this summer. So, the main thing I have against genetic engineering is, at this moment in time, the research should be kept in the laboratory. We don't know enough about it. This, they put it out in the open, the crops can contaminate other crops. An example, for instance, in Canada, where they grow oilseed rape, and they have grown it for about 9 years. At this moment, you can't get any non-GM seed of oilseed rape in that country. 2 years ago, we brought Percy Schmeiss over this country to give a talk. He's a farmer who farms about 1,500 acres of oilseed rape in Canada. A crop of GM canola oilseed rape was grown in the neighbor's fields. It cross-contaminated with pollen to his crop. Monsanto came onto his farm, tested the seed, and could see that it had been contaminated. They took out a court injunction against him because they said that he stole their patent by it having it in his seed. It cost him over $460,000. Now, if this means that it's going to take the rights to our seed, if this is going to compel us that we've got to use their seed, it's taking away our freedom of choice, when really the answer is in nature. I've been a farmer for 40 years. We've got to look and better the old things we used to do, or we will be depending totally on industrial farming. A CSA is the way forward. I met a farmer from India who was over here last week, and she wanted to meet me because I was doing similar things to what she was. She's got 5 acres of organic land, and they use a specific compost system and a rotation system, and the output they get out of that 5 acres is mind-boggling. So that's where we should put our research. You know, how can we understand what we're doing with the DNA when we actually know only what 4% of what it actually does? Until it's like buying a car and knowing where to put the water in. I would never do that. It's only common sense. And really, we should be very careful what we're doing, or we won't get any choice at all. Thank you.
Thank you very much.